We call the meeting to order. Let's rise and do the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's kind of funny when we hear the elevator, but we don't see anyone.
Kathy is here.
She was waiting. She was being...
They're on their way out. We figured.
All right. This is the April 16th, 2018, public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Yeah, but we'll wait till we...
Shall I call the roll?
Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Feinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. Kilda?
Absent.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Absent.
Mr. Scheich?
Absent.
And Mr. Semeg?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right, we've got a couple of meeting minutes here. Let's do them each individually. Minutes of December 19th, 2016. These were previously emailed by Denise. Are there any questions or comments or concerns? And if not, is there a motion to approve the minutes of December 19th?
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. McTiernan.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Mardini. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Semeg?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Next up are the minutes of February 6, 2017. Same drill, those were sent out. And are there any questions or comments? If
motion.
Not, is there a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. McTiernan. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Mardini. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans? Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Semeg?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. And the last of our minutes for the evening are the minutes of March 19th, 2018.
And we only have two members that are present this evening who are eligible to vote on these minutes, and that is Mr. Higgins and Ms. Kleinhans.
And Mr. Semeg.
No, that was is not eligible.
Okay.
So that's okay to have two,
yep,
right?
Yep. Someone make the motion, someone second.
And yeah, is there
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, second. Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
And Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. That was an easy one.
That was an easy one.
Would have been harder if there was one of you.
Yeah, well,
one of you can do a resolution. I'm not sure one can do a set of minutes.
All right. Resolutions, SBG LLC, Block 29, Lot 34, 1316, Route 31 North. This is Resolution 2017-12, memorializing the waiver of site plan approval to allow modifications to the exterior facade, etc. This was sent out.
Right, version 3, dated April 8th, and there's one last revision. Take a look at the title of this resolution. It's SPG instead of SBG.
Wow.
Thank you, Denise.
You're welcome.
That's one of those ones you just, yeah.
Glaze over.
Yep.
Okay, any questions or concerns on that resolution?
People eligible are Higgins, Kleinhans, Mardini, and Samé.
Yes. So if all is in order, is there a motion? Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Mardini. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
And Mr. Samé?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Old business. We have Clinton Agricultural Associates, LLC, Old Mountain Farm, Block 7, Lot 3, continued hearing. Now, we had a letter.
Right. They're not here, and there's a letter.
Mm-hmm. And the letter says.
We should have someone read the. I think it's an email. We should have it read into the record and then make an announcement. I will gladly volunteer to make that announcement, unless the chairman wants to make that announcement.
Yeah,
hold on just a second.
Do you mind pulling it up and reading it for the sake of good order?
I think there's something different on their email.
Try my word. But that brings it up.
Hold on, it was Friday. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Okay.
This was an email that was sent from Kathy Lindaberry, who's Mr. Thatcher's...
Paralegal
administrative assistant. An email sent to Denise on Friday, April 13, at 11:24 a.m., and it says, Dear Ms. Filardo, we hereby request that the meeting for Clinton Ag scheduled for April 16, 2018, be carried to the next meeting on May 7, 2018. My client is putting additional information together with respect to his application, and he needs additional time. Please confirm. So Denise said, what should she do? I said, call back and say, yeah, we'll make the announcement. Right. So
if I remember, though, he was worried about time last time. So we're okay postponing it if they ask. We'll just carry it till next.
Yeah, just so you know, it's for the record, I sent an email to him after saying, Jay, are you sure? Because when your client was here, he said it couldn't even go another meeting where he was going to abandon the whole thing. And then Mr. Thatcher, Jay emailed me back and said that Harold changed his mind. So he must have felt that he must be coming back with something that, you know, he thinks that's worthy to put it off another meeting. So let's make an announcement that the application is carried to the board's May 7. That's the correct date. I know that's what he asked.
Yes.
May 7, 2018 meeting with no need for further notice. Is there anyone in the audience here on the Clinton Ag Harold Wilbur application? No. So it'll be heard that night. No need for further notice.
No need for notice because we carried it here. Right.
Correct. We carried it here to a date certain.
Perfect. Good. Next up is new business, approval of vouchers. They were sent out. I have reviewed them. I'm okay. Are there any questions or concerns on the vouchers? If not, I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. McTiernan. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Samé?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Good. Now we are up to a work session on the 2018 Housing Plan Element and Fair Share Plan.
So this is a work session. It's not a public hearing, but it's not that it's a dry run, but it's so you guys can see exactly what the Burgess office has done. So it gives you a little heads up when we come to the public hearing.
So remind while Tom is passing out the materials. Just give us a little quick, what's the next steps in this process?
Okay, so.
I put them on, yes.
Okay, so my office put together a settlement implementation chart, which has been handed out to everyone. And that shows...
That's the SIC, right? The settlement...
Yeah, the settlement, settlement implementation chart, the SIC.
Okay.
The SIC.
That's what I wanted to put.
Yep.
Ooh.
Very good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows which entities and which individuals have to do what by when so that we can do everything we have to do under the settlement. So you will see that the way we've charted things out, because within 90 days of court approval of the settlement after the fairness hearing, and that took place on, I believe that
March
order
18th.
Was entered on, no, the order
oh.
was entered, I believe, on
23rd.
May 1.
Oh.
I mean, pardon me, what am I talking about? April 1. It was either March 30th, March 31, April 1, something like that. So 90 days, April is May, June, July. So July, the planning board has to, by July 1st, the planning board would have to have adopted a revised housing element and fair share plan, which has to include a spending plan. So working backwards, we put tonight down, and again, not that we put fat in this thing, but we have taken a very aggressive approach to the dates, just in case we do have slippage. I don't want to have to go back unless in an emergency they ask the judge to give us an extension. So the reason we're here tonight so quickly is because why not?
Yeah. So the rough approach here, and Mr. Mardini noted that your second column there, it should be 2018, but there's no worry about that.
Yeah.
Planning board, April 16th, we're reviewing this. We're sort of doing, as you said, a dry run. At this point, we're set for May 7th. If I go down to the bottom of that page?
Yes.
To vote on this and have the public hearing, right?
Right. And again, if you see things tonight that cause, you know, some major revisions that...
And I'll preface that, I guess. One, John and I talked about prioritizing this as the main effort in terms of getting a document in front of you. It is substantially similar to the plans you've seen in the past, and really what we've updated is the township's efforts since the last plan was adopted in 2016. The compliance plan or fair share plan is pretty significantly different from the last third round plan adopted in September 2016, given the new affordable housing obligation and these various development alternatives that have come online. So the structure is more or less the same. I am going to go back through the census data and update it, given that some time has passed. And so between now and May 7th, or actually 10 days or sometime before then, it'll just be a period of refining the document and adding and embellishing where needed and, finalizing the appendix.
So my suggestion is let Tom go from beginning to end, and we have the time to do a work session on this thing.
Okay. Page one, again, just an introduction about what the plan is all about, that it is an MLUL requirement, again, the preparation of a housing element as part of a comprehensive master plan in order to have and enforce a zoning ordinance. Page two, it goes into a fairly detailed history, which we've expanded upon, again, to include all the events and policy changes since the adoption of the September 2016 plan. That brings us to page four. Again, we've expanded upon what the township has done in some detail since 2016 and the fact that there are a number of 100% affordable projects. We've received the 9% financing award from HMFA for the Beaverbrook site, and again gives an overview of the various sections, sort of again as an introduction to the document itself.
Just a comment.
Yes.
Page three. Yeah, when you're talking about December 12th.
I'm sorry, one more time?
December 12th?
Yes.
This should be 17, right?
17. You are correct, yes.
Good
eyes. That is correct.
Eagle eye.
And the so I'm sorry. If there are any other comments, thank you for that. I'm sure there may be some others, and I'm going to read this probably 10 more times before it gets finalized. The housing element itself is really just an overview of the township's existing housing stock and demographic information, and really sort of paints a picture as the trend in terms of the housing distribution, the quality of housing, the location, population statistics, age statistics, in order to illustrate, I guess, what the need for housing is, independent of the need that was assigned by fair share housing or COA or otherwise. So there are a number of charts, and because the last plan was dated 2016, there has been some new census data provided. The more reliable decennial census is offered every 10 years, so the last one was 2010. There are five-year American Community Survey estimates up until, I think, 2015 or 2016 at this point that will likely be updated in the tables. In general, where I've looked, though, not much has changed in terms of trend or otherwise. It'll just be slightly different figures. And again, it doesn't have much bearing on the plan itself, but just as part of the MLUL requirement and to help understand why certain sites were selected and densities. Page 26 brings us to the obligation. And it's an overview of what the obligation was based on the township's own expert e-consults report and Kinsey, the expert of Fair Share Housing Center. And then it talks about how a settlement agreement was reached and what the obligation was that was agreed upon. And I guess maybe this is a question for John Drill, whether or not the breakdown of the e-consult Kinsey numbers is relevant here, or if that is something we want to have broadcasted.
No, I think you could take it out. It's in our settlement agreement.
Okay, so it is available. It just...
Yeah. Okay. I don't see any reason. I mean...
I guess, does it call attention to any issues?
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you want it in... I mean, for that matter, if you're going to do that, you might as well add a column for Judge Jacobson's decision.
That was after the fact, though. I mean, you could use that to illustrate that the agreed-upon number was lower than what was assigned.
But again, right. The summary of our fair share obligation, it was a settled-upon number.
It's a settlement agreement.
Right. And so...
I guess the point... I put it in here as it was the basis of negotiation, but... If we think that it's not relevant, because I understand the obligation is through the agreement. Then.
Not relevant.
Okay.
It's in the agreement. I would
scratch it out.
Yeah.
Section 3 begins on page 29, and this is really sort of the meat of the document and what it's all about. It talks about how the township meets its affordable housing obligation, the various components and mechanisms, and that the township does satisfy its obligation in full for both the rehabilitation component, the prior round, and the prospective need. It gives a little overview, again, about what the obligation is, about the types of plan mechanisms, and what it means to be an approvable, available, developable, and suitable site. Page 32 has the tables in which the prior and prospective round plan mechanisms are outlined, and we arrive at the various obligations, and this breakdown is directly taken from the settlement agreement. So you'll notice the bonus credits, where you're technically allowed by the regulations to go up to 25% of the obligation, are a little reduced in this case, and that was just part of the negotiating process with Fair Share Housing Center. And we did note the loss of the one group home on Wayside Lane, and made that up with the 142 to 144 West Main Street gut rehab. So we picked up three credits and applied two bonus credits there, which are not explicit in the settlement agreement, but we took some liberty, and I think we'll be all right until we find out otherwise. There's a map of the various sites sort of zoomed into just the scope of the area we're talking about, not the whole township.
Hey, Tom, I think the next page for you is 34. That item 3, regional, is spelled like it has something to do with the queen or a king. Just that.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
34?
Oh, at the bottom.
Last paragraph on the bottom, regional, just needs an O popped into it.
Yes, that would be...
Remind me, I'm just drawing them. What was the 142, 144 West Main Street?
It was a gut rehab that was, I think it was paid for by the township.
The county actually did that, and they rehabbed 3 units and 2 structures. And we had missed it, to be honest, in our first submission. But at the same time, the group home, we checked on that on Wayside Lane. It was still owned by the group home operator. But Jeff Ward, our assessor, told us it was for sale.
I just saw that for sale. I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah, no,
they're allowed to sell?
Well, it was a 20-year encumbrance.
And it
expired in 2005.
Wow.
So... We had the same issue, a similar issue, I guess, with Dr. Nenna, you know, trying to gin up enthusiasm for a group home, and, you know, he ended up committing to pay us instead of doing the group home thing.
Thank you.
Tough out here.
So how many units were in the group home? Just one?
There were 5 in the group home, the Wayside Lane group home. No.
So that is now 0?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We did lose those, but we picked up the other 3 from the West Main Street got rehab.
Who owns that property?
Which property?
That side was owned by the group home operator.
Some company, and it's for sale.
I know.
I think they're selling it as a single-family home.
They're selling it as a single-family home.
Yeah, the control has expired a long time ago, so there was no reason not to if they wanted to.
Yes.
West Main Street one, does that have a similar time frame?
I believe there's a 30-year deed restriction, is my understanding.
That was 1995.
1995, so that carries us, I think, just until...
Did you know?
To the end of our settlement agreement.
The end of the settlement.
Nice chart showing where everything is.
Say it again.
Did you note to these guys this nice chart?
There's a map, obviously, of the sites, and I've noticed.
Look at 11x17 map. Yeah, it's a nice map showing
where
everything is.
And there is a typo with regard to one of the street names, which is generated by state data. So I will go back and take that. It's Valley Crest Road, not Valley Crest. Page 34 just runs down the various plan components, starting with the rehabilitation component, through a structural conditions survey prepared by Mike Wright. He determined that there are 10 units that qualify for rehabilitation when previously it was thought that 21 units was the case. So there's actually a reduction, and that translates to real dollars at $10,000 per unit. So we saved the township about $110,000. Yes, sir. We're waiting for that information.
What is that rehabilitation? What does that mean?
First of all, the township has to bond for up to one-third of, you know, 10,000 times 10 units is $100,000 within a certain amount of time from this court approval, let's say. If the money's never used, the township can recapture it after some period of time. The specific amount of time, I'm not entirely sure. But if the township did not want to administer its own program, they would likely find a local program, which I believe the county runs one, that they would then sponsor. And there would be qualifying households and projects that people could come for
an owner qualified for the affordable housing limits, they could get funding.
It could be a senior resident, for instance, that needs a new roof, and they could get some funding for that.
I know our township clerk got a new roof via this route some time ago.
Yeah.
We apparently did a lot of them way back when.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. It seems like they stopped whatever. It was not...
Oh. There's a whole drawer full of stuff about them. I was surprised.
And, to your point, there had been some units rehabilitated in the past. I think 16 total. There was some... amounts spent. The figure is not in here at the moment. But it also talks about the continuation of the development fee to help support the program, too. Mm-hmm. So other than bonding, that's where some money can be expected. Mm-hmm. There are some prior cycle credits, credits without control, which were based on income-eligible households at the Beaverbrook and Oak Knoll developments. There was sort of an application or survey process submitted to COA, and they determined basically the maximum number of credits that the township could earn in that case. Regional contribution agreement was done with City of New Brunswick, in which they basically sponsored the creation of 108 affordable housing units. I believe as a stipulation in the settlement agreement, we actually have to go and ensure that those units were built, given that the money was exchanged. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that it was done, and I guess we'll figure out how to verify that. But in any case, there should be some documentation for that. So that's significant in that it's 108 credits. Page 35, the Village Green at Annandale, that's the mixed-use development right by the train station that I'm pretty sure everyone is familiar with. There are four affordable units there. We then, on page 36, go to the Muse. And as I've noted, there will be some site images and concepts that are relevant.
Tom, go back. Yes.
Village Green, you said four, but it says it states three.
It was three, and then the approval was amended to four.
Ah, so Village Green had been approved for three. In February, amendments were approved, increasing the number to four. Okay, gotcha.
Thank you.
Again, page 36, we talk about the Muse, and it's an existing development. These are senior units. There's 35 of those.
Yeah, and just so this is in the housing element. There's a lot of things on the implementation chart that I handed out where various people are supposed to submit documentation of various of these things. For example, the Muse deed restrictions, which my office has ordered from a title company to try to get those things. When Tom mentioned before, structural condition survey, Tom and the mayor and Jess and the construction official, that's on page two, the third box, are supposed to be working on that. So there's a lot of I-dotting and T-crossing that have been assigned. So people should look here, especially the mayor, because I assigned a bunch of stuff to here.
I'm just kind of noticing that.
Yeah. The structural condition survey, we're going to wrap up. Mike had done the survey himself, and we're just going to put it in a narrative format and do what we have to do.
I'm behind already.
Yeah, I know. Again, the dates are very aggressive. But
the
only person up there that's got to check for his name is the mayor.
Thanks, John.
Page 37 is the CRC Longview Group Home, and this is one of the more uncertainties of the plan, in that CRC had received a site plan approval or subdivision approval that was never built, and because they never built it, they never bought the group home that they were supposed to buy. So while we are taking the credits, we'll see how this plays out in the future, especially with the
market
developments
and
market.
Right.
Page 38 is the 142-144 West Main Street gut rehab project, which I think it maybe was the chairman who discovered that it was not included in the last plan. And in any case, we are taking credit where we deserve it. So.
Right.
that is the case there. And we have that unit until 2025, which would presumably be the beginning of the next round. So we'll worry about that then. As you all know, the Beaverbrook Homestead project has been approved, and that's acknowledged here. And it's a significant component of the plan in that it's a 66-unit, 100% affordable project that will likely start construction this year, is my understanding. So it'll be occupied shortly thereafter, within a year and a half, I would estimate. Similarly, the former municipal building, I believe we're expecting site plans any day now.
They're in.
Okay. So
are they complete?
They're incomplete.
Okay.
So we expect them to be complete sooner than later. And before the board, I would guess this spring is reasonable.
Yeah.
And then thereafter, final site plans approval, then construction. I'm sure everyone in Annandale will be thrilled that things are finally happening there. The Marukian site. This is somewhat more conceptual in nature. Again, constrained with the timeline, we are anticipating issuing an RFQ for the site very shortly. Within the next week. The idea being that the next round of the 9% HMFA financing, the applications are due in July, I believe. So RFQ, select the developer, have a preliminary plan approved, and get all that going. So we'll be seeing you for that sooner than later.
We just discovered sort of accidentally that in order to apply for the family round, and that deadline is July 24th, the prospective developer needs to have a mortgage in place, and the deadline for applications for the requisite mortgage is May 17th.
Wow.
So we got to get the RFQ out and award and
the pedal is to the metal on this one. Right now, that's their top priority. That's even more important to get out than even if we have to push the hearing date on the housing and fair share plan back.
Yeah.
The priority right now is to get that RFP out and get responses in from it so that the people responding can apply for the mortgage.
Just to clarify, we decided Q, right? RFQ. Qualifications is the agreed upon.
Right, request for qualification, not a request for proposal.
Right. Yeah, it's critical in that the rumor is that with the new regime in town in Trenton that the QAPs for the 9% tranche may change and may not be favorable, one. And two, the other rumor is that there's going to be a very large number of awards on this round.
So we want it.
So, you know, we really, really want to get that 9% mortgage.
So the Marukian site, we do have a concept laid out, which is generally to occupy 6 acres at the southeast corner of the site, which the township is entitled to convey. Ultimately, a developer will, take ownership of the site and have a concept prepared to their liking, but presumably it'll be a flag lot that is behind the existing row of trees, has a generous setback from Route 31, and is generally a flag lot configuration with a long driveway to that sort of setback cleared area.
Almost none.
And again, we anticipate to see a site plan for this in the near future. The Headley Farm site on page 42. John, I don't know, am I at liberty? Are we at liberty to talk about that? I mean, the plan calls for 400 units, 104.
What you're at liberty to talk about is what's on page 42.
Okay, let's do that. It's a large tract. Previously received a subdivision approval for 21 single-family homes. The township will be rezoning it to accommodate 400 residential units, likely a mix of townhouses and apartments, and it will yield a set-aside of 26%, or 104 affordable units, which is one of the larger set-asides seen in the state, I think, for this round or any other round. And I think that's something the township can be
Does that reflect proud of. There was a takeaway in that calculation, too, or in the original proposal, I remember, from the other development.
We lost, I think it was four affordable units.
So that's a net, is that netted in this?
It's a net of 100, I think. We lost four, we picked up 104.
Right. It's not that we lost four from the other CRC. This CRC with the 21 lot final subdivision had a group home, which was going to give us four units. Once that changed to this 400-unit proposal with 104 units, the mayor is correct. We had four with a group home. We no longer have the group home, so 104 is a net increase of 100.
That's what I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That may be an error in the settlement. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I forgot to tell. I was supposed to tell Tom that the Board of Adjustment approved the use variance for Platypus. Okay, it's commercial development, but as part of that, there is a residential structure on that property, and the Board of Adjustment granted them a use variance to have two residential apartments in there if they're both affordable. Now, the thing is, we don't have that in our plan right now, because right now, we could put them in the plan, but Platypus, first of all, they wouldn't agree to a 30-year deed restriction. They would only agree to a 10-year. So I spoke with Kevin Walsh at the time from Fair Share, and I was hoping that maybe we can get some sort of waiver and get two credits, and his thinking was, well, if it was a 30-year deed restriction and you get two credits, but it's a 10-year deed restriction and you only have two units, maybe we'd get like a third of a credit or something like that. So, and Platypus now looks like they're going ahead with the commercial. It's not clear if they're going ahead with the residential. In fact, they were supposed to come back for the BOA next Monday. The meeting's been canceled. They're going to be next month, and the Board of Adjustment might separate the commercial from the residential, but it's not clear they're going to do the residential. So for now, I think the better place to be is to not include them in the housing element fair share plan, because they weren't included in the settlement. So I don't want to put them in here and then have the thing, you know, not come into being.
It's two units that could be applied at some future time or added.
Correct.
Whatever the case. I just want to be clear about the CRC units. There was the discussion about the 104 and the 4. I thought they were two separate things, and that's how they're outlined and treated in the settlement agreement.
CRC has a Headley site.
And the group home, sorry.
Right. And Longview.
Yeah.
Right. Longview, those bedroom units are in the plan.
Yes, correct.
What the question was, CRC Headley, before it was a 400-unit development, was a 21-lot subdivision.
Yeah.
There was a condition of that 21-lot subdivision that said give us four group home bedrooms.
I was making sure there was that distinction.
Right. Correct.
Right. Yeah,
so CRC Headley, the 400-unit development, has no impact whatsoever on CRC Longview's group home bedrooms.
Understood. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Right. The chairman was asking.
Was that the net right?
Right. He wanted to know the net. If Headley before had four, and now they have 104.
Right, we really got 100.
We got 100, but that's still...
It's still good.
That's still really good. Not just good, it's still really good.
So the status of this...
Oh, that extra 1% you got out of them toward the end there.
Well, the extra 1% that they offered up was you know,
that's
very nice.
Yeah.
So with regard to the Headley Farm Estate, we're sort of waiting for... a final concept. We've seen different iterations, and so we're evaluating, I guess, what the best approach is, recognizing that there'll have to be specific ordinance amendments to permit the development, as well as working with the Highlands to create a Highlands Center in that area to allow the density, the 400 units over the 155-acre site.
Yep.
Page 43, Alton Place. It's a 16-acre tract with some environmental constraints, reducing it to about 13.84 acres. What's contemplated there is a 140-unit townhouse development with some multifamily to make the density work out. So we'll see exactly how that pans out. I don't think there's a specific distribution as of yet in terms of what will be required. But, again, that's another ordinance amendment. That will be required to allow for that density. Page 44 is the LeComp site. This is one of the newer sites introduced to the plan, sort of came in at the tail end of the planning process. It's the township's third 100% affordable site.
Just a clarification.
Yeah.
While it came into this particular plan at the end of the process, this site was actually...
It was contemplated when we were first with the township in 2015, the church property.
Correct. This site was the township was looking to this site for affordable housing since 2000...
At least 15 prior
14, I think it was.
Yeah, 2014.
And
it's finally...
June 11th, 2014. I remember that evening very well, in fact. That's the date.
Yep.
So this is a 40-acre site. The developer at Community Investment Strategies is looking to subdivide 10 to build 89 100% affordable townhouse units. The exact subdivision and what will happen with the remaining 30 acres is, I suppose, up for discussion at this point. Either it will retain its current zoning designation, I believe it's the ROM1 zone, and or it could somehow turn into open space. We'll see.
You never know.
Just a typo. I don't believe Kramer's Creek is a Category 1 water body.
Okay. I will. Where do you see that, John?
First paragraph. Page 43.
First paragraph.
Got it. I will clarify that.
Remind me on this, on the third paragraph, the last sentence.
Yes.
The settlement agreement requires pedestrian access across 31.
Yeah.
The alternatives which are evaluated by a township and are contingent upon DOT approval.
Yep.
So the alternatives are contingent, or the requirement is contingent? Am I overreading this? You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying grammatically.
In other words, it's required, but our solutions have to be contingent.
I think the wording of the agreement is such that when it comes to a direct access point-to-point across the highway...
with a stoplight, that is subject to DOT approval, and if they say no, it's no.
Correct.
So the requirement...
we have to apply.
...is...
to apply
is
for a direct access...
contingent. Right.
Yeah. Now, if that falls through, I believe that we would then... but Tom's got to check the agreement... have to put a sidewalk or some sort of path up to Regional Road to cross at that light, and
that's
then some
correct.
Sort of path
right.
down the other side.
Like that's correct.
Where there is a signal.
Yeah, yes.
Got
that's
it.
Why I think that ultimately there it was one or the other. So
just check the line.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, I mean, we've got the running path already installed, the 5K thing for the cross-country teams from north, so that could be the access to the playground.
Yes.
Stunning.
Correct.
And it's got rest stations, or we'll have shortly exercise stations and all that installed.
Got it.
Just finishing up with the LeCompte site. Again, we've seen some sort of rough concepts just to see that what's being proposed can fit. It's recognized by all parties involved that this that the Moroccan site takes precedence in terms of applying for the HMFA 9% financing. So this will be an application either in the following round, depending how Moroccan does,
or the one after,
at some point in the future.
Yeah.
I believe the township also has water and sewer rights, or is in the process of acquiring.
Well, we did get a will serve, formal will serve on Moroccan, so we've got everything we need on Moroccan, both sewer capacity and water. It's premature to apply for water, and there's not enough capacity in the system currently for water for LeCompte.
But we
we do have sewer for LeCompte.
Right. Okay. But it is not a durational adjustment.
Yes, it's a durational adjustment.
From a water perspective,
yes. Alton Place is a durational adjustment. LeCompte is a durational adjustment. And Headley Farm is a durational adjustment.
I have the other ones. I actually...
You have.
Noted it.
You have it.
It's noted.
Yep.
Okay.
Page 45.
Page 45. Cruising along here. Last but not least, bonus credits. Again, I mentioned that the regulatory cap is 25% of an obligation, but just the way that the settlement agreement panned out, it's slightly less than that, and the benefit was that the overall obligation was reduced in terms of real units. So it's less bonus credits applied, but a much smaller affordable housing obligation to the tune of, I don't know, 20 or more units. I forget what the exact figure was. The Highlands consistency review section and the last plan talked about Clinton Township's build-out analysis and how that might apply in terms of an affordable housing obligation, and it may not apply in this case, so we're going to look into that a little further to see how or if we should acknowledge it in this plan in terms of consistency or inconsistency. And then all the various appendices to follow, including deeds, draft ordinances, et cetera.
Does anyone have any questions for Tom? Because otherwise, I'm going to suggest that Tom, Kathy, the mayor, and I leave to go back downstairs because we have a separate meeting to go to. And you guys, if you need us, call. But I don't think you'll
I don't
need
think
us.
You do. I think we have a couple little reports and all, and we're good to go.
Awesome. All right.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us. Please feel free to reach out to me individually if anyone sees anything.
I'll take a look if there's any little...
I understand you're just seeing it tonight for the first time.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, I have to talk to you. I just figured I'd give it to you this way. When I get it done, we can talk about it. Don't call me on the phone.
Have a good night.
What was it? I don't know. But I'm like, no, I don't know how easy that's going to be to grant.
I think we were just having a little. I think there was an interesting chart in here about the age of the housing stock and how in the last several years there's been no new houses.
Yeah.
And you see it on the building permits, but you know there's been since 2011 there were no building permits. 1 in 12, 2 in 13.
And then one just last year.
Right. So, you know, in the context of these durational adjustments, you know, I think there's a couple things that come at play. One is the getting the utilities, which is, you know, the engineering side of it, the science. Can you get water and sewer? But the other side of it, which is there a demand for different types of housing? And obviously nobody's going to go, I shouldn't say it that way. You would think rational investors wouldn't go invest in something that wouldn't be saleable, rentable. So a lot of the stuff flows into that determination of when that durational stuff is built.
And our neighboring communities are also beefing up their agreements.
They have, you know, Reddington has a pretty substantial
unbelievable.
They've got more of a requirement. Right. So does Clinton Township.
Right.
I mean, and that's always that's been some of the discussion here, which is, you know, where demographically people have been wanting to move, unfortunately, is closer into the cities nowadays in the last 20, 30 years, you know.
Seems a higher probability that the RCAs will be reenacted.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best way to go.
And they were well embraced, you know. Yeah. We did it with New Brunswick, I think we said, and a lot of those towns, cities.
The RCAs?
Regional contribution agreements where towns paid
other towns
on cities to
take on their...
They don't do that anymore. They don't do that. It got eliminated.
But there was a lot of discussion at the municipal conference back in November in Atlantic City on that, where the cities were asking publicly is that we need to have that going. And their thought was is that Governor Murphy would be more willing to do something like that than Governor Christie was. But we may see it again.
So just to, yeah.
There's a need.
Why was it decommissioned in the first place then?
It was spun as a class issue that wealthy towns were paying cities to build affordable housing, when frankly quite the opposite, like Newark and New Brunswick wanted it because they were revitalizing their downtowns, you know, and frankly that's where the infrastructure, that's where the public transportation, the schools, the churches all exist, but it kind of got caught up in that.
Yep.
So.
But there was a lot of discussion at the governor's conference down there and then the other entities that broke out for the municipalities that we're discussing, where all of the cities were basically asking for that to come back up. And the last 2 years that I went, there was nothing. This year, there was a lot of discussion on it. So we'll see.
Yep.
I would be very surprised if it comes back.
I would too. I think it's got a lot of negative connotation to overcome. But like I said, if it gets back to this where demographics are and where, you know, presumably builders want to build where buyers want to buy. So however that works out, the old saying, follow the money, usually is accurate.
We'll find out in the next couple of years.
All right. So we really have at this point reports, right? Is that there's really not a lot. Do you have anything offhand?
Just a little bit. Council? Council met on April the 11th. I think the most important thing there is we adopted the ordinance to implement the results of the November 7th, 2017 public referendum regarding the open space trust fund, whereby we could use up to 50% of the monies obtained for that fund for development or utilization by the public of our open space areas. So that has been actualized. It is good to note that we're still looking at a lot of properties to acquire for open space, so it's not a bent on go do things and spend the money elsewhere, but it's still looking at the at open space and how we use those monies. That was approved.
Good.
And we did also, just FYI, is that we approved a shared service agreement for Uniform Fire Safety Act services with Lebanon Borough. So we're seeing more openness and willingness among multiple communities to partner and work together. And here's another one.
So
that should help us both.
What's covered in that one?
That's
the state police powers, or is that the...
No, this is fire safety.
This is fire safety.
Fire inspectors.
The Lebanon Borough Fire and the Annandale Hose have
always
seemed to work very well together. Most of, I should say, I don't want to, most of the fire companies I've seen
do well
seem together. To work pretty well together. Those two particular, so that seems like it would be an obvious extension of that.
So is, just to clarify, Dan, are we providing the service for Lebanon
yes.
Borough so that we get paid from them, right?
Yes.
Ordinance subcommittee, nothing. Open space, nothing. The mayor would be reporting on that. I don't have anything from the environmental. So.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstained? Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Should we hit the